Hello, and welcome to the Green Book Commentaries Podcast. I'm Dr. Arthur Plessa. Volume 14, Episode 22, Innate Brain and Educated Brain. Doctors of Chiropractic and Student Initiates, welcome back and thank you for joining me. For those just tuning in, we are now in the junior section of chiropractic textbook and roughly halfway through this amazing green book. I've received a lot of messages how this green book volume has helped students gain a deeper appreciation for the anatomy and physiology classes that they take in school. By studying the relationship between innate anatomy and physiology, the student can add life to the matter in study and shine light upon why the body works the way that it works. It's truly a shame that students are not taught anatomy and physiology upon the solid foundation of chiropractic philosophy. I guess we have the Council on Chiropractic Miseducation to blame for this blunder. But that's a topic for another time. Today, we are going to begin by asking, did you know that you have two brains? No, I'm not getting technical here, since we do have two halves, which function as one brain unit. I mean, we really do have two brains. In episode 21, we talked about the innate brain. One of our student listeners from Palmer College in Davenport, Iowa, messaged me and wanted to understand better what exactly the innate brain is and its relationship to the biological brain that she studied in neuroanatomy class. Throughout the entirety of Volume 14, we have been connecting innate intelligence to every tissue cell and demonstrating how innate puts into motion each cell for coordinating normal function in order to maintain life. If I may quote Dr. Stevenson from an earlier episode, quote, "You are your innate. Your innate is you," end quote. To add further to this statement, B.J. Palmer wrote that mankind is composed of four primary systems. 1, spiritual. 2, electrical. 3, chemical. 4, mechanical. Let's develop this principle to understand the two brains we're discussing here. Mankind is both immaterial and material. The immaterial is innate, which is likened to a spiritual body that is perfect. Like our physical body, innate has a brain which creates mental impulses to supply the physical energy demands of the physical body. So the best way to understand this concept is really to draw four concentric circles, labeling them 1 through 4. Circle 1 is the center from which the other three grow upon in size. Circle 1 would represent innate intelligence and is the driving source for the next circle. Circle 2 would represent the electrical nervous system of the physical brain, spinal cord, and all spinal nerves. As we go from circle 1 into circle 2, we transition from the immaterial to the material, from the innate brain as the generator of mental impulses to the educated brain as the receiver and transmitter of those mental impulses. Growing from circle 2, circle 3 represents the chemical system, which is innervated by circle 2, and represents all the chemical activities which occur within tissue cells. This would represent such processes as glands producing hormones, mitochondria producing ATP, and all the various secretions that occur within. the chemistry of the body is completely dependent upon a properly functioning nervous system. Remember all we've discussed about serum? That's another chemical reaction under the control of the nervous system. Moving outwards from circle 3 and into circle 4, we arrive to the mechanical system, which is represented by the musculoskeletal system. It is the chemistry of circle 3 which puts into motion the tissue cells of the muscles in circle 4. Remember from physiology class the cyclic movements of sodium and potassium in and out of muscle cells, causing contraction and relaxation? So with that, we see the four layers which comprise mankind, from innate to the tissue cell, and gain a better understanding of how it all pieces together. Pretty cool, isn't it? Now that we've demonstrated that we all have two brains, let's move into the next discussion from today's reading. Subluxation at its focal point. Most of us are familiar with the concept of hard bone on soft nerve. However, what part of the nervous system is actually in contact with the misaligned vertebra? B.J. Palmer firmly understood that a subluxation could only come in direct contact with the spinal cord or spinal nerves within the actual neural canal. That is to say, a subluxation at either atlas or axis causes cord pressure within the neural canal, or a subluxation at L5 causes nerve root pressure within the IVF. BJ never taught that peripheral nerves could come under subluxation pressure and interference due to being out of the spinal canal. This means that BJ also taught that extremity joints could not subluxate. He would teach that peripheral nerves were never encircled by hard bone, such as is with the spinal cord or the spinal nerve roots. With this, a misaligned extremity joint could never put a constrictive pressure upon peripheral nerves, as is currently taught in most chiropractic colleges today. Consider the course of the median nerve as it passes over the carpal bones. Even if one of them misaligned anteriorly, it could not cause pressure upon the median nerve, as any movement of the carpals will also shift the nerve alongside with them, rather than constricting the nerve within a bony canal. This principle holds true for any joint or nerve outside of the spinal canal or IVF. We now go to our break, and when we return, we will begin our reading from Volume 14. Welcome back from our break. We now return with our reading from Volume 14, page 161. Article 211, Educated Brain. That part of the brain used by innate as an organ for reason, memory, education, and the so-called voluntary functions. The seat of educated mind. It is supplied with mental impulses over nerves as other tissues are. It is liable to incoordination as any other tissue. It is not a vital spot. Its existence is actual, but its location is theoretical. It is the chief organ of adaptation to environmental conditions. The educated brain is an organ used by innate for a certain purpose, just as the liver and stomach are organs used for certain purposes. We must not let the fact that it is an organ confuse us, though it is made of nervous tissue and happens to be located within the cranial cavity. We must never conceive of it as a power which can create thoughts or as a thing that can govern the body. It is merely a piece of flesh and therefore matter. Matter does not create force, it only expresses it. It is only the physicists who believe that by the clashing of its atoms, physically and chemically. Thoughts are born of it. Like many other organs of the body, the liver, for example, it has multiple purposes. It is used by innate by virtue of experience and training stored within it, as an organ to sow tincture, impulses that they are consciously guided, called voluntary functions. It is used by innate to receive percepts concerning the environment of the body, obtained by her able scouts, the five senses. The constant comparison of these percepts with former percepts and with each other enables innate to avoid actual or threatened dangers and to guard the body for its comfort and welfare. The educated brain used by innate to store away percepts by a physiological change in its structure, and the accumulation of stored percepts is what makes education. At birth, it is a clean slate for innate to record experiences. Article 212, the spinal cord. The spinal cord is a bundle of nerve axons, which is used by innate as a main cable to conduct mental forces from and to the brain. Within the spinal cord are axons, which supply every tissue cell in the body. The spinal cord is the main conduit from the brain to the peripheral nerves. It branches the spinal nerves. Its branches, the spinal nerves, emit through the intervertebral foramina and ramify to all parts of the body. While some tissue cells have nerve supply that does not pass through the spinal cord, yet the coordinative action of all cells is dependent upon impulses which must arrive via the spinal cord. This is accounted for by the fact that all tissues are subject to incoordination if the spinal nerves or the cord are impinged, a clinical finding. Article 213, spinal nerves. Spinal nerves are the branches from the spinal cord which leave the neural canal by way of the intervertebral foramina in pairs. Each segment of the spinal column has a pair of nerves superior to it. There are 31 pairs of spinal nerves. There are both efferent and afferent nerve axons in each spinal nerve. Each pair is said, arbitrarily, to belong to the vertebra below it. A nerve is a bundle or group of nerve axons or axis cylinders. An axon is a very minute filament or branch of a nerve tissue cell which transmits the impulse to the tissue cell. When a nerve is impinged, it means that one or more of the axons is impinged and there is interference with transmission in the nerve. Not the whole nerve necessarily, but in one or more axons. A nerve may be considered as something like a conduit filled with electric wires, much like the lead cables we see strung overhead in the cities, or the iron pipes that lead from a central point or the meter, conduct electric wires all over the building. A more complete description of nerves is given in senior work. Article 214, the periphery. Periphery is the term used to indicate the tissues at the ends of efferent nerves, axons, or at the beginning of afferent nerves, dendrites. The tissues which are supplied with mental impulses. Nerve tissue itself may be periphery. The brain is the central nervous system. The spinal cord, spinal nerves, cranial nerves, and the visceral nerves are the systems of distribution. And the tissues supplied are the periphery. This might be called the physical triunity. It is the physical representation of brain cell and tissue cell and the link between them, as spoken of in freshman work. The spinal nerves divide into superficial and deep branches. Note, this refers to division of conduits, of whole nerves, not axons. The superficial branches divide and supply the superficial tissues. The branches supply the deeper tissues, and there are branches of the latter which communicate with the visceral system, which supply the viscera of the trunk and head. Thus, we see that all parts of the body are supplied with mental impulses by certain nerves and their branches from the spinal column. Each pair of spinal nerves has a definite division to supply. Article 215, the inferior meric system. The inferior meric system is a system of dividing all the periphery of the body into zones, according to distribution from the spinal column. It is used for clinical purposes to trace from effect to cause, or from cause to effects. Theoretically, we trace from cause to effect, and clinically, we trace from effect to cause. The division is exact, but varies with each individual. Its divisions are zones and meres. There are just as many zones as there are pairs of spinal nerves, that is, 31. There are 31 pairs of spinal nerves, 7 cervical, 12 dorsal, 5 lumbar, 5 sacral, and 2 coccygeal. However, since the 5 segments of the sacrum are immovable in relation to each other, the 5 pairs are usually classed as one group. The zones are numbered from above downward, from 1 to 31, or from 1 to 26, according to the way the sacral and coccygeal nerves are classified. Thus, the zone supplied by the pair of nerves belonging to 7th dorsal vertebra is called the 14th zone. Its number is obtained by adding the 7 cervicals to the 7 dorsals counted. Think of the body as being divided into horizontal sections, or bands, or zones, or in slices as a cucumber is sliced. Then think of each of these slices of the body as having a double nerve, pair of nerves, supplying its every particle. So far, this is only analogical and not realistic. To make it realistic, visualize the segments as overlapping, or rather as being well blended, a segment running into or merging with its neighbors, but still retaining its identity and still with its own nerve supply. If slicing a system of division, so the identification of parts by nerve supply is no less a system of division. The customers of Jones, the grocer, do not have to live in a different part of the city from the customers of Smith, the grocer. They can intermingle freely and still retain identity of supply. This division of the body is not theoretical. It is actual. By this system, we are able to know quite certainly which nerves are impinged by knowing the anatomical nerve supply of organs. Hence, which foramina, approximately, to examine for impingements. Therefrom, find which subluxations to adjust. If the nerve itself is incoordinated and shows strong symptoms of it, the task is very much easier. In such cases, nerve tracing and taut fibers show us which neuromere is affected. Thank you for joining me for another episode. I'm Dr. Arthur Plessa. This has been the Green Book Commentaries Podcast.